Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're getting into a really key bit of financial reporting.
That's right. International Accounting Standard 33, IAS 33.
And the big number that comes out of it, earnings per share, EPS,
yep.
You see it everywhere, right? Seems so simple, but, well, there's a lot underneath. We're looking at some source material, a visual from chapter 22, trying to, you know, pull out the essentials for you.
Exactly. The goal really is to get comfortable with IAS 33, what it asks for, and crucially, how you actually calculate that EPS figure.
It's amazing how much weight people put on that one number.
It is. And understanding how it's built tells you so much more about a company's health, or maybe what they want you to think about their health.
Okay, so let's start at the beginning. IAS 33 itself.
Right, the standard. It lays down the law, basically. It
tells companies how they must report earnings performance, sets the objective, the scope.
It's the rule book. Ensures everyone's playing the same game, more or less, when they report EPS. Consistency is key.
And that brings us straight to calculating earnings per share, the core of it.
At its simplest, yeah, it's profit divided by shares. But it's not just any profit figure.
No.
It's very specific. It's the profit or loss attributable to ordinary shareholders.
Ordinary shareholders. So like the common stockholders.
Precisely. After you've paid out preference dividends, interest, all that stuff, it's what's theoretically left for the owners, the ordinary shareholders.
Okay. Now this next part. This always seems to trip people up. The denominator.
The weighted average number of shares. Yeah.
It's not just counting shares on December 31st, is it?
Not at all. That wouldn't be fair, would it? Shares get issued, bought back. It changes throughout the year.
So you need an average.
A weighted average to reflect how long those shares were actually out there during the period.
And things like bonus issues, free shares.
Exactly. Or stock splits.
Yeah.
The standard says you have to adjust the number of shares retroactively as if those new shares had always been there.
So past EPS figures get restated too.
They should, yes, for comparability. Same with rights issues, where existing shareholders get to buy more shares, often at a discount.
Mm-hmm.
That needs careful handling too.
Okay, so that's basic EPS, but then there's diluted EPS.
Right, and this is super important. Diluted EPS looks at the what-if scenario. What if all the things that could become ordinary shares actually did become ordinary shares.
You mean like convertible debt, loans that can turn into shares?
Exactly that. Or employee share options. If those options are exercised or that debt converts, suddenly you have more shares sharing the same profit pot.
So diluted EPS will usually be lower than basic EPS.
Almost always, yes.
Yeah.
It shows you the potential impact of that dilution.
Yeah.
It's a more conservative number. Some might say a more realistic one for future planning.
So let's pull this together for the listener. Why is EPS so significant? We know profit matters, but...
Well, profit is an absolute number. Hard to compare a giant company's profit with a smaller one's.
Right.
EPS puts it on a post-share basis, makes it a key performance measure for comparison.
There's always a but.
There are problems with the EPS too, definitely. You need to be aware.
Like what?
Well, a company can boost its EPS just by buying back its own shares. Fewer shares mean higher EPS, even if profits are flat.
Doesn't mean the underlying business is doing any better.
Not necessarily. Or they might sell off a big asset that gives a one-time profit boost, bumps up EPS for that year, but it's not sustainable profit from ongoing operations. You have to look deeper.
So once you've calculated both basic and diluted EPS, how are they shown?
Presentation and disclosure. IAS 33 is very clear on this.
Got to be upfront about it.
Absolutely. You have to present both basic and diluted EPS right on the face of the income statement. Clearly labeled.
No hiding it in the notes.
Well, the detailed calculations, the number of shares used, any adjustments, it all goes in the notes. Full transparency, or at least that's the intention, so investors and analysts can see how the numbers were arrived at.
Okay, so we've covered IAS 33, basic EPS, the weighted average shares, diluted EPS, why it matters, and some pitfalls.
A good run through of the key elements.
Leaves us with a final thought then.
Go for it.
Considering all these adjustments, especially for weighted average shares, and the difference between basic and diluted EPS, how could you, as an investor, maybe use those details? Spot if a company is perhaps, shall we say, engineering its EPS figure a bit too much, making things look better than they are.
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? Looking beyond the headline number.
Something for you to think about next time you're looking at company reports. Until our next deep dive, keep digging deeper.